Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil sends the beast with wrath, because he knows the time is short. Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. Its number is 666.
Yeah, no, I'm good to go.
Okay.
Good to go, we're live.
Yes.
We're doing it.
The intro will probably be like some music that I'm going to slap on for sure. Okay. But only 30 seconds worth.
No, I'm doing this one.
Oh, never mind. You're right. You're editing it. Well, good luck, Alex.
Good luck.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to our summer series, our bonus episodes, our little extra treats for you.
Yeah.
In between seasons of the Horrible People's Podcast, I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
Hey, hey, hey.
And joining us this week, Wyatt. Welcome back.
Hi, thank you for having me, and thank you for letting me write this episode.
Yeah, wow. No, we're very excited to do this. Part of the goal for the summer is just like kind of to give our friends the opportunity to write episodes on content that we normally wouldn't be able to cover during the normal season. Would you like to introduce what we're talking about today?
Yeah, so I thought, since you gave me free range to write about whatever I want, I thought I should write about horror's influence on music, because we've talked a lot about horror films in this podcast, but not music, and they have a lot to do with each other.
Yeah, this is definitely something we wouldn't normally cover.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. I was like, oh shit.
And I'm excited to educate you guys on all these different types of scary bands.
Yeah, scary bands.
Yeah, so let's dive right into it. That's... and kicking us off, Wyatt.
All right, so horror films and music have gone together almost since the beginning of the genre, with classic horror films using its music to add the feelings of fear and tension to a scene, with the soundtrack almost being as important and scary as the monster itself. I think a great example is Psycho.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
with the shower stabbing scene, if the music wasn't there, it would not be as impactful.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. And then the early horror films, like Nosferatu and everything, just...
Yeah, they had the orchestra and everything doing
great.
It too. Yeah.
So as horror began to grow, artists and performers began incorporating shocking elements of horror films into their performances. Some using it sparingly in certain songs, like in Michael Jackson's mega hit Thriller.
Which we just watched.
Which Alex just watched for the first time.
That's right.
Yes, I just watched the music video. I've listened to the song many, 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 many times.
Don't cancel her. She's heard this song.
I've heard it before. I've just never seen the music video all the way through. The long version, directed by He Who Must Not Be Named.
We'll talk more about that. So yeah, some artists use it sparingly. Also, Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast is a good example. While other artists, such as Alice Cooper and Rob Zombie, probably have heard of them, many others have centered their entire careers and music and everything around their horror imagery.
For sure.
I've heard of Jerry Zombie. I don't know who this Rob is.
Jerry Zombie. This Rob guy's cool. He's like just starting out. I think he has a future in horror.
I like the kind
Do
of
you guys
jig.
Want to hear something really funny about my experience with Alice Cooper?
Yes, because I love Alice.
Okay, so I enjoy Alice Cooper, but my introduction to Alice Cooper was Wayne's World.
Nice. That's a great introduction. Yeah.
So I remember why, because I loved Wayne's World as a kid.
Yeah.
I thought it was the funniest movie ever.
We're not worthy.
We're not worthy. Anyway, but and I remember seeing it, and then they go see Alice Cooper, and you get like a very gratuitous like scene of him performing Feed My Frankenstein.
Yeah. That's actually, I think that's cut from the music video of Feed My Frankenstein.
Oh really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I remember just thinking like, this is such a good song. And ever since then, I've just had a remarkable fondness for Alice Cooper.
I'm very happy that you said that, because I fucking love Alice Cooper. He's always been one of my favorites. I've seen him a bunch of times. The show's always amazing. I've seen him and Rob Zombie together, and that
Damn.
Is
fucking That's awesome.
Awesome.
Ooh. Yeah, I know he did... Alice Cooper was on tour, like, last year? Or like,
He actually... just earlier this year, I was supposed to see him at the Greek.
Yeah, that's what it was. Oh, bummer. Yeah, I know, because one of, like, a podcast network that we really like, they, like, all went to go see him. And
nice.
I was just like, oh, wow. I didn't realize he was still touring.
That's what everyone says. Whenever I wear, like, an Alice Cooper shirt, people are like, is he still alive?
He's very like, much alive. He's kicking.
Yeah,
and
he's in his late
70s. And he still wears all the leather, and, like, he's kicking ass.
I think he's gotten... more extreme and heavy as time was going on. Because you hear his early albums from the 70s, it's kind of like rock, more rock for sure. Right. And then the new stuff gets more metal, more heavy and everything.
Oh, interesting.
More horror influence.
Definitely more horror influence. There's a story, speaking of Alice Cooper. In the beginning, he was doing kind of like things to be shocking on stage, but it wasn't horror-esque. Like, one of his stories was that the entire band wore these see-through outfits and were naked just to, like, freak out the crowd. And they ended up sweating so much that you couldn't see through them anymore. So he didn't have much of a horror image until one festival show while he was playing. Some of you might know this story. A chicken ends up on stage. And according to Alice Cooper, he'd never been on a farm and he thought chickens could fly. And he picked up the chicken and threw it to the crowd, and the crowd ripped it apart, blood all over the place. Oh. Next day in the paper, Alice Cooper kills chicken on stage. And everyone's horrified, and then his management was telling him, run with this story, go with it. So I think the horror aspect kind of developed after the chicken incident. Oh,
one fateful chicken changed the world.
The chicken toss heard around the
world. Heard around the
world. Oh, Jesus.
One small step for chicken, huge step for music. So, in the 80s, horror icons from film and music world began appearing in each other's films and music videos, bringing a large community of like-minded horror fans together. Mm-hmm. For example, you think of horror icons. Who do you think of? You think of Freddy Krueger. You think of Jason. But you also think of Elvira. Or you also think of Alice Cooper. You also think of Rob Zombie. Like, the Misfits, they all fit
for sure.
Just right up there. Alice Cooper did a song for Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. Ooh. He's back, the man behind the mask. And appears as Freddy Krueger's abusive stepfather in Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. And speaking of A Nightmare on Elm Street, we can't forget Dawkins' Dream Warrior for Nightmare on Elm Street 3. Just,
yes.
We're the Dream Warriors! Oh,
yes!
These are all the ones that we're about to cover. Like, the next Friday the 13th, that's it.
Really?
That's part 6.
Yeah,
oh, cool.
The next
Nightmare on Elm Street
is Dream Warriors.
Nice. Right. You're welcome. Vincent Price and Alice Cooper appeared on TV together. Elvira was always appearing, promoting bands. The Misfits skull began popping up everywhere around the 80s. Going to a Halloween store in the 80s, you were just as likely to see Alice Cooper in Kiss costumes as you were Michael Myers or the Ghostbusters.
That's true.
Very true, that's very true. Especially in the 80s. Like, I feel like it's when it really combined
it
together.
It really popped off.
Yeah. With horror films and music becoming more synonymous with one another, entire subgenres of horror-themed music and communities developed, with each embracing its own takes on music, lyrics, artwork, aesthetic, live performances heavily inspired by the world of horror films, from metal, horror punk, psychobilly, industrial, a lot of fucking genres. We're going to go over as many as we can.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm biased, we're going to highlight the ones that I like the most, but we're going to cover a lot of them.
There's one you missed that I'm like, okay, at the end I'm going to bring it up.
That's what I thought was going to
happen. I'm going to bring up what? No, we're going to wait.
Oh, okay.
If you want to wait, fine. Horror is not just for the film enthusiast, it's also for people obsessed with music, and that is what we will be talking about today.
Yay.
And especially in the circles I've run in, metal, punk, and everything, so much of just the look comes from horror.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you can't think of metal without skulls and pentagrams and shit.
Sure, oh, there's right. Like a darkness aspect to it. I feel like it would be out of place to have anything else.
Yeah,
It wouldn't work.
Totally.
It really fucking wouldn't work.
For a lot of it, yeah.
And it sounds like it looks. Like
yeah, that's a good way of putting it. It sounds like it looks. But then other genres too, like especially psychobilly, a huge like aesthetic appearance of horror.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it all. So I'm right. excited to talk about this. So
yeah.
How did it start, Alex?
Yeah, so many styles of music can have an inherently scary and spooky sound to it if played the right way. And people have often found new musical discoveries to be frightening at first. People fear change.
Yeah.
And I don't think music is any exception to that rule. So, in the Middle Ages, there was a genuine fear over the use of the...
Tritone.
A musical interval that, when played on certain instruments, creates a sound many thought was demonic at the time. You can actually hear this sound featured heavily in Black Sabbath's self-named song, Black Sabbath.
Yeah, so the story is that back in the Middle Ages, it was forbidden to play this tritone. When I was looking into this and doing research, I didn't find evidence that it was actually forbidden, but it was like a thing everyone thought.
Like a taboo.
Deeply
yeah,
taboo.
Yeah, it was a very taboo. Like, We don't do that type of thing.
You're like, that kid is crazy.
Yeah, so then Black Sabbath's main song, the guitar riff, is just playing on that the whole way, and that adds such this haunting sound to it.
Oh, history.
Aside from the actual music terrifying people, musicians have often been seen as shocking with their performances, with performers getting more and more extravagant and outrageous over time, often frightening the generation that came before them. I remember hearing, like, I remember the rumor mill with Ozzy and the Bat.
Yeah, totally.
Like, that was, like, that was, like, the thing where it's just...
We all grew up knowing Ozzy bit the head off a bat.
Right.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And then it's just like, no, that's pretty, I'm pretty sure that's bullshit, right? Or...
It was sort of... Or, no, it was true, but he thought it was a fake bat.
Right.
And it wasn't until he bit into it that he found it was a real one.
A surprise for him, to be sure.
And he just ran with
but,
it. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Or
but,
even, like, the Satanic Panic attached to it.
That's,
where,
yeah.
Where it was, specifically with Black Sabbath and mm-hmm. Ozzy Osbourne, where he was just like, why would I want to kill my fans? Because there was, like, that whole rumor that, like... His music had, like, if you played it backwards, it was, like, telling them to kill themselves.
It was such a big thing, like, in, like, the 80s and everything, of these demonic bands possessing people. But for the shocking aspect of it, like, bands like Elvis and, like, Little Richard, people were shocked and, like, afraid of them at first before horror even came into the picture.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, music has always been seen as something that can shock and frighten people, but one of the very first examples of an artist using the spectacle of a horror film in their own performances was Screamin' Jay Hawkins, singer of the hit song I Put a Spell on You in 1956.
Can we slap it on?
We I'm sure everyone knows this, but yes, we have to play some.
I mean, if you've seen Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
But also the opening of, like, the OG song I really like.
It's great, yeah.
I really like it, actually.
So are we going to...
What's up?
Very cool.
Classic. Still hear it every Halloween.
It still, like, hits.
It's still great.
It just does, yeah.
Still probably creeps people out if they haven't heard it.
Yeah. I'm agreeing because I hadn't heard the whole thing until today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh,
nice.
I really liked it.
That's why I was excited for this. I want to spread all these bands and everything.
Yeah. So... launched to the legendary status of one of rock and roll's most well-known songs, Screamin' Jay Hawkins actually was not inspired by horror to write the song, but actually, according to Wikipedia, the song was recorded while the band were all pretty much entirely drunk, with Jay Hawkins being so wasted that instead of singing the refined ballad, the song was originally supposed to be instead scream, grunted, and gurgled his way through the tune with utter drunk abandon, to the point of blacking out and not even remembering the recording session.
Oh, now that I've heard the lyrics, like, recently, that makes sense.
That's how all great art is spawned, by just people being wasted.
Being absolutely plastered.
Oh, and here I was just plastered at a Dodger game. Who knows what art I put in the bathroom?
Who knows?
Oh, my God.
The resulting recording became the band's biggest hit and one of music's most legendary songs. And Jay Hawkins had to relearn the song from the recording after being too drunk to even remember it, which is amazing.
It's amazing. I love that story.
Soon after the release of the single, a radio disc jockey named Alan Freed offered Screamin' Jay $300 in 1956. So that's easily $12 million.
Yeah, you know, that's accurate.
$1 billion.
Right. To emerge from a coffin on stage, which originally Jay declined, stating, quote, "No black dude gets in a coffin alive. They don't expect to get out," unquote. However, he would later relent and develop a large outlandish stage persona where he would regularly emerge from a coffin on stage wearing leopard print costumes with stage props, with smoking voodoo skulls and rubber snakes. Despite the massive success of the spectacle, Screamin' Jay was actually not a fan, feeling that it was exploitative and undermined him as a vocalist.
Yeah, he said that he wanted just to be known as a vocalist, and there's a quote of him saying, "How come it's Screamin' Jay? How come it's not just Jay Hawkins?"
Right. So while this is still a Halloween classic to this day, unfortunately, the originator did not fully embrace the horror of it.
No.
That's interesting.
But it helped spawn, like, such great music and aesthetic.
Yeah. Honestly, the aesthetic, I could definitely see, like, people being like, oh, that's cool, and he's, like, just pissed off.
And he's just like, it's fucking stupid. He's like,
fuck this.
Yeah.
But, of course, while many artists did use elements of spookiness in one-off songs here and there, like, of course, the 1962 hit, It's Monster Mash.
It's a great rock smash.
Such a horror-y song. But of course, horror was actually not fully embraced by a musical artist until the rise of who we were just gushing over, Mr. Alice Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1970s, the self-declared first villain of rock and roll.
This is going to be very heavy on Alice Cooper, but I mean, how could it not be if we're talking about horror and music?
Oh, of course. So Alice was the first to use lyrics and imagery directly inspired by horror films, and seemingly the first artist with an explicit intention of scaring and horrifying the audience, which...
Yeah.
That got a lot of Jimmy's rustled right there.
There were artists before him that, as I said, did, like, shocking stuff, but it wasn't, like, explicitly horror-themed. Mm-hmm.
Intentional.
Yeah, and as far as I can tell, Alice was the first one to be, like, a horror movie. I want to scare the audience.
Dude, that's that inner diva a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, but it worked. Like, the Alice character is very, like...
Yeah,
iconic. Narcissistic in a way. Yeah. At the way he plays it.
It was like glam. Like,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's part of the
it's the
role.
Look, the thing, yeah. Which is funny because to spoil it for people who don't know, Alice Cooper in his personal life, like, plays golf all the time and he's super religious. He's super, like, just a normal old dude.
That's so funny because, as we're about to talk right now, Alice became more known for his stage shows than his actual music, with live performances regularly featuring monsters, Frankenstein, horror icons, makeup, and blood. And Alice both killing and being killed in rather gruesome spectacles. So, yeah.
People were genuinely horrified of him back in the day. Literally thought that he would kill himself on stage every day, every show. Because, I mean, every time I've seen him, he's like, he's guillotined himself, he's hung himself, he's been electrocuted.
That's crazy.
It's awesome. That was all in one show.
That's so creative. God damn.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, it is not uncommon for an Alice Cooper show to feature baby dolls being stabbed, Alice being hanged, electrocuted, stabbed, and decapitated, as just detailed. Of course, also there's zombies and psychopaths to be on stage as well. And for some blood to spray directly on the motherfucking audience right
concert
there.
With a splash zone. I love it.
Oh, great.
Not as much as gore, but it's a little bit for Alice Cooper.
The things that are fun and cool now, but in the 70s, when no one had seen this before, people were genuinely really terrified of Alice Cooper. He shook a lot of boots there. It's really bad.
First tour in the UK, they were actually banned, like, right before the first show, and then it made all their shows sell out.
Oh, good old Streisand effect, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. Now, of course, Kiss, well, you know, before we head off
to
Alice Cooper... We need to play his music, right?
Yes, of course we need to play Alice Cooper. There's so many.
Look out, audience. Here it comes right fucking now.
Welcome to my nightmare. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong. We're sweating.
Yeah, no, we just listened to the song right now. We were just saying that there's nothing like that. There ain't nothing like that. At least for the 70s, back
especially
the time.
Like back then, people were still freaking out about like the Beatles and shit. And then this guy comes out singing about a nightmare and he's wearing a straitjacket.
That's right.
They're like, no, he's not holding anybody's hand. Okay.
Yeah.
So as Alice became more successful and horror films became more popular over time, more artists began incorporating horror into their performances. So, Kiss was another that gained massive popularity by embracing spectacle and shocking fans. Namely, on the part of Gene Simmons, who based his appearance on a demon you'd see in a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And would regularly blow fire and spit blood at their shows. That 70s show is a very good look at the fandom of how people reacted to this in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
There's an entire movie about going to a Kiss concert, Detroit Rock City.
It's, oh, yeah.
It's so
I remember
good.
That one.
It's a great movie.
Damn. Oh, so Black Sabbath always had an element of horror to their music, but when Ozzy Osbourne started his solo career, he began to use more horror imagery in his performances with songs like Bark at the Moon and using gargoyles and werewolves in his live shows.
Yeah, because Sabbath was more, their songs were about, like, the devil being scary and, like, haunting stuff, and then in the 80s, when, like, Ozzy does more solo thing, then it's, like, Bark of the Moon, werewolves, and stuff like that.
Is Bark of the Moon on the playlist?
It should be.
I believe it is down here. Let's, a little
you can start at the very beginning.
Take a listen to...
Oh, here it is, right here.
But, yeah, with Black Sabbath, they were singing more about, like, the devil, something like be afraid of. They were talking about how they were scared of it. But even then, people thought they were evil and satanic and spreading Satanism. It wasn't until later where bands were like, yes, the devil, and just, like, going.
I know, right? They really took it head on that one after a while.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time, the genres of horror, punk, and psychobilly were beginning to take form on the East Coast of the United States, obviously, and in the UK, with bands like The Cramps and The Meteors adopting a rockabilly sound with the raw intensity of punk music, while singing about B-movie horror and sci-fi films of the time, fun lyrics, developing a new culture of horror-inspired music fans of their own.
Yes!
Yeah, that's us.
I love horror,
that's all of us people.
I love psychobilly. Yeah, so what is the appeal? Why did these artists choose to use shock and horror imagery to frighten audiences and sing about zombies, demons, and headless corpses? Because it's awesome.
Yeah.
Why are you guys listening to this podcast? Because it's awesome.
How about stabbing shit and all these things you just described that we normally talk about?
Yeah, pretty much.
There's an audience for this.
We're watching a movie, so yeah. So, Alice Cooper has stated in interviews that while growing up, he loved bands like the Beatles, but he only ever saw rock heroes in the world and no rock villains, and decided he should be the villain of rock and roll. The horror movie monster of the rock world. And he definitely took it upon himself and did that.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Cooper, frightening the audience was the best way to get people's attention. I believe in an interview he said, like, they didn't really care if people, like, left or didn't like it, just as long as they were shocked and told people, holy shit, this guy Alice Cooper's doing crazy shit.
Yeah, like, as long as there was
scared
no facts.
The shit out of me.
Yeah. Because
mm-hmm. that's going to be the message that spreads.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially back then, like, we were saying the Satanic Panic, where, like, people really thought these bands were evil and were doing all this, like, crazy shit.
Well, it's that fame versus infamy thing.
Yeah, totally.
You know, infamy is going to make you spread way faster.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, if we can be the thing that parents hate, that's going to boost us up to the top.
Oh my god, and parents hated it, dude. They came back from, like, the 50s and shit. They're like, my day.
Oh, yeah.
The Turtle Doves were the rock... No, yeah, that's not how this works.
And then they see Alice Cooper being beheaded, and they're like, oh my god!
Oh my god.
Suddenly, it didn't matter whether they liked the show or not. People were going to talk about the singer who stabbed babies and drank blood on stage and killed chickens. Alice Cooper's philosophy was to not just sing about the nightmare, but to give the audience the nightmare with a large stage show, which I love. I'm a huge sucker for stage shows. Like, a band can be okay, but if they do a big-ass awesome stage show, they're getting extra points for me.
Oh, an Insane Clown Posse fan, I see.
No. Why are you going to do that? God damn it. I take back everything I just said. The more intense and shocking the live show was, the more attention the band would receive in the media, often as a warning for people to avoid such a horrible, terrifying act.
Oh my God.
Alice said at that festival where the chicken happened, I think the Doors played, and then Alice Cooper, and then John Lennon. And after the Doors, apparently over the PA, they were like, warning, Alice Cooper is next. Like,
wow.
They might be, like, shocked or, like... Might not be for the faint of heart.
Hold on to your britches.
Yeah.
You'll get John Lennon afterwards as a palate cleanser. Oh my god.
Imagine this, motherfucker.
But the more myths of how terrifying Alice Cooper was, the bigger and more successful the band became. While Alice used his love of horror films to get attention, other bands like the Meteors and the Misfits used their passion of horror as a way to entertain fans looking for a break from the politics that became expected in punk music at the time.
Nice.
I mean, there is something to offering a respite.
Oh, for
like
sure.
The default, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I love a lot of those original political punk bands too, but it's nice to like the Misfits and just go on to this fun shit.
So as bands like Ozzy Osbourne and Alice Cooper grew bigger and the horror films of the 80s began to take shape, the horror genre often blended films and music together because they complemented so well.
Very much. As we can tell from the video we just watched.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For his album, Welcome to My Nightmare, Alice Cooper created a mini-movie to promote the album, starring horror legend Vincent Price. And Alice's live shows would feature horror icons such as Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees.
Oh, I gotta find one of these.
There's a video. I used to have a DVD of the live show, and yeah, there's one song where like all the monsters come out at him and stuff.
I love that Vincent Price is like so willing to be involved.
Yeah.
In like music.
Yeah.
You know, between
Vincent Price
like
is great.
Thriller or like Alice Cooper, like that's super super awesome.
And it's all because of his horror status and his voice and everything.
Well, he also just seemed like such a cool chill
totally.
Dude. Like he just seemed down for whatever. Like I mean, even just him, even though he was like dying, he was like, "I'll do Edward Scissorhands."
Yeah,
so that's fine.
That's crazy.
He's the guy.
Yeah,
he's
the guy.
So horror films started to feature famous musicians in cameo roles, sometimes even playing as themselves, which I find personally hilarious.
Yeah, like Kiss.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
As the 80s went on, the music genre heavy metal took a heavy influence of horror films in its album covers and song lyrics, with bands such as Slayer and Venom singing about hellfire and demons ripping people apart.
Slayer!
And artists like King Diamond creating their own horror stories and shocked audiences with spooky demonic imagery.
Oh my god, I have so much to say here. So yeah, as I said, when it was Black Sabbath and everything, they were like, it's horror to be afraid of. But by the time of Slayer and Venom, it was like, we are with the devil. Yeah. We are satanic. This is a full-blown, like, pentagrams on fire. That's when all the cool shit started happening. And then King Diamond is this musician that he has this really high-pitched voice, and it kind of sounds like a ghostly, like, haunting thing.
Mm-hmm. I've heard King Diamond.
I love King Diamond, but...
we have a King Diamond song.
We do have a King Diamond song. Maybe we should play it really quickly.
Shall we give people some context here?
Let's give the people some context.
I'll give you the context. This is from an album called Abigail, and is... All of his albums have a theme, like a story throughout the whole thing. So it's about like a haunted mansion with a little girl who was killed and becomes a ghost.
That's so cool.
That's the whole, like, the King Diamond is where you read the lyrics while you're listening to the whole album.
That's
and you get a whole, like, story.
That's really cool.
Okay.
I love musicians who do that.
Oh, me too. Yeah, this song is A Mansion in the Darkness, one of my favorites.
That's exactly it.
All right, let's take a listen.
I was ready to put the whole thing in there.
Nope. 30 seconds.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, King Diamond especially, very horror imagery. His live shows are all very satanic. There's pentagrams. He was actually one of the first openly satanic musicians and was actually part of the Church of Satan. That is how horror influenced King Diamond is. And as you just mentioned when we were paused, Metallica in Stranger Things. Metallica was heavily inspired by King Diamond and even covered some of his songs. So, if you love Metallica and Stranger Things, you can thank King Diamond.
Yeah, that's true. Very foundational right there.
But getting back to it, so it became common to see skulls and demons and horror monsters to be associated with heavy metal.
Fuck yeah.
At the same time, a new wave of psychobilly and horror punk bands was taking music to more extremes with bands like Mad Sin, Necromantics, and the Misfits playing the fast, aggressive sounds of punk, but replacing political lyrics and protest songs with black makeup and lyrics about grave robbing and B-horror films. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure we also have a Misfits song.
Yeah, we have a couple of them, actually. So we got the Misfits and we got Necromantics, too.
Necromantics is fucking great.
I'm going to slap them both up real quick. I'm going to slap both.
All right.
They're pretty different, so you should play both because they're pretty different sounding.
All right, so first we're going to listen to...
Misfits is first.
Misfits. I remember Halloween, decked out, hanging from the floor.
there's the image. I know the listeners can't see it, but yeah, Necromantics have a stand-up bass in the shape of a coffin.
Dude, send me some of these images and so I can make it for the art.
Like, yeah, I think
that would look good.
I thought you should do, like, put different pictures of each person right up there.
Yeah, that would look fantastic. See, we're just looking at the fundamentals, like, here.
Yeah, use that one.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, let's slap them over. I will slap them on.
Yeah, so I don't think anyone can think of horror slash music without thinking of Misfits. They're so fucking big and well known now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people know them and don't even know any of their songs. And the Necromantics were one of, like, the first ones to come up, too, from my research.
Well, also, like you said, like, even if you don't really know their music, like, everyone knows the Misfits' Skull.
Yeah, everyone is singing it.
It's iconography.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
definitely is.
Exactly. So, a significant moment happened for horror punk in 1985 when the horror film Return of the Living Dead featured a soundtrack mostly of horror punk and psychobilly bands, including The Cramps, 45 Grave, and The Flesh Eaters.
Yes. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. This soundtrack would go on to become legendary to horror punk fans in the late 80s and up until today.
And actually, I didn't know that until I did the research on this. And then I was like, oh, so I had to find that soundtrack.
It has history.
Yeah, but I guess that was one of the first, like, relatively big movies that had a soundtrack like that and brought
awesome
fans up. Like how the Tony Hawk games did a lot.
Oh, they for did music so much.
I feel
for
like
it,
this did a lot for horror punk and everything.
To be fair, you're 100% right. I remember watching Return of the Living Dead when I was younger, and it definitely had such a different vibe than like other zombie movies.
Yeah,
nothing was like this, actually.
It wasn't like the like classical like faint music anymore.
No. Well, even the characters too were really outlandish and real punk rock, and like there was a whole thing to them.
Yeah.
A lot of nakedness too. So, you know.
Of course.
Wonderful kid me was like, yeah, put the movie on with the titties. Anyways, the Misfits would go on to be the biggest horror punk band with their signature skull logo, as we just talked about right now. The Crimson Ghost identified with the band all over the world. A logo the band would adapt from the 1946 film, The Crimson Ghost.
Yes.
Damn.
So they didn't originate the skull. They got it from a movie.
That's how it is. It always works out that way.
Yeah. Oh, we're about to go into the park, so I won't spoil it.
The Misfits were led by singer Glenn Danzig, who always had a fascination with horror films and the macabre, and wrote most of the band's lyrics to be about B-horror and, of course, sci-fi films.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that was the first to go from, like, we're not going to do punk, we're going to sing about, like, sci-fi and horror and grave robbing and this shit.
And honestly, it gives people, again, there's a different audience for that.
Yeah, totally.
Like, some people really want that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're like, you know, I'm fine hearing about how fucked up capitalism is, but can I...
I've heard it, I get it. Yeah. I need some horror.
Vampires and shit.
I need some heads cut off.
Yeah. But in 1982, the band were arrested for grave robbing while trying to locate the grave of a voodoo practitioner.
Yep.
So they stuck by their word,
they
baby.
They did. They stuck by it.
Though the band became legendary, they were short-lived, with frontman Glenn Danzig going on, what was it?
Going on to form.
On the
typo.
Oh, no, to form.
To form.
Going on to form the more metal-based bands,
Samhain.
And Danzig.
Is it Samhain or is it like how it's supposed to actually be pronounced, Samhain?
I guess it's that, because I don't fucking know.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say you're right.
No, because Samhain is the pagan holiday.
Yeah.
But I feel like people just say Samhain for the sake of saying, because it's spelled out.
It's because we're dumb and we don't know how to say things.
Yeah, but it's English.
Samhain.
Samhain.
Stop it!
Both of which featuring a more demonic element to the music and image rather than the campy horror of the Misfits.
And
I mean,
we do have a
Danzig song. You can hear the difference between the Misfits
and
the
Danzig.
The Danzig. The Danzig.
All right, let's take a listen.
Oh, there it goes.
A good way to compare is the Misfits lyrics are like I said, B movie alien stuff. Danzig lyrics were more like Lovecraft and that type of shit.
Oh, cool.
Faces empty eyes.
The Miss Misfits became a huge inspiration for horror fans all over. Along with these more underground styles of music, horror became widely accepted into mainstream radio, actually, with, as what we just saw right before recording the podcast, Michael Jackson's 1982 hit Thriller, one of the most well-known, that's right, Halloween horror-inspired songs of all time.
Now, yes.
According to Wikipedia, we could play it, but everybody knows Thriller. So, according to Thriller! Do that dance, though. Oh, my God.
I could never do that.
Yeah, Alex knows the dance. She's got it down.
Apparently Phil does.
Yeah, Phil too. Phil.
He said he forgot it.
He's lying. He knows it.
He's doing it right now.
Every night before he goes to sleep.
That's why he didn't want to do this. He didn't want to get embarrassed.
He did it in a bear costume. He'll know it forever.
So, according to Wikipedia, the song was initially not planned for release, with executives stating, quote, "Who wants a single about monsters?"
Everyone, motherfucker.
I know. Listen to these fucking executives. They don't know anything.
I've never been fucking right, Jesus.
No, it haven't.
But Jackson eventually convinced the record label to release the song as a single with a new video, where Michael Jackson is surrounded by zombies, and it becomes one of the undead and breaks into a dance routine. That's right, he sure did. The video for Thriller was voted the greatest video of all time by MTV in 1999, as well as VH1 and Time Magazine in 2001. And that's, again, over a decade later, almost 2 decades after that. It's iconic. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is.
Still holds up.
Yep. And the video would become the first music video ever to be selected for the National Film Registry by the Library of Congress, who also named it the famous...
Probably the most famous.
The most famous music video of all time.
See, executives don't know shit. They didn't want to put this out. Who's going to like this song? The entire world, for the rest of time, is going to like this song.
Yeah. God, if they got their way, we would not have...
We wouldn't have anything. It would just be boring as shit. Don't ever listen to executives. Anyway, with horror well-established in music throughout the 80s, artists began pushing the envelope in more extreme ways. I know we skipped over some genres that we'll get to. The more modern the horror films were becoming, so did the music too. With new artists like Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson establishing themselves as shock rock icons, continuing the legacy of Alice Cooper by creating shocking imagery in massive stage shows and terrifying parents all over the world.
That's right. We just went over this right before, too.
I'm sure all of your parents were terrified of Marilyn Manson.
Other than the rumor that he took out ribs to suck his own dick.
Yeah, which wasn't true.
For everyone listening who was in elementary school in the early 2000s, it was bullshit.
It didn't happen.
It was a lie.
But it was the same as, like, Ozzy biting the bat, Alice Cooper the chicken, Manson was ribs.
Mm-hmm. But also, like, I like that those are just, like... No, this like they're like killing animals versus Manson, where he's like, no, he really wanted to suck his own dick.
That's such like an insult to the artist. Like, no, he's so full of himself, he'd rather just blow himself.
Yeah. Rob Zombie pulling more from the classic horror films of his youth and singing lyrics about monster men, werewolf women, the Munster's car from the Dracula, and creating a fun spectacle with his stage shows. While Marilyn Manson creating a more dark and serious tone with his music, greatly inspired by death rock bands like 45 Grave and Christian Death. I know there's different thoughts and allegations about Marilyn Manson right now, but you literally can't talk about horror and music without him.
He's
such a fucking massive part of all of it.
He's like a fundamental part of the conversation.
Despite
his craziness.
Even though I don't condone any of the things he's accused of.
Right. Like, do I think he's a garbage person?
Yes.
Do I still listen to The Beautiful People? Yeah.
Can we still listen to The Beautiful People?
Here's a clip of The Beautiful People.
I gotta add that I remember seeing Manson for the first time in the documentary Bowling for Columbine. And at the time, like, I didn't know anything about rock or metal. I just saw this scary looking dude and one of his music videos came on, and me being like 12 was like, what was that? And that's when I started exploring metal. So, like, I gotta admit, Marilyn Manson really helped push me into metal and learn about that's so awesome. Much music. He greatly inspired the goth scene. Still think it's a piece of shit, but...
I know. Well, I mean, if someone, like, inspired you that much before you knew they were a piece of shit, it's, like, the difference between, like, people who, like... loved Bill Cosby as a kid versus someone if I or someone now suddenly is just like, you know, I didn't really like Bill Cosby, but now I really like him. Then it's just like, then it's like, you're a weirdo. Like, you know, like, but if someone now is just like, I really didn't like Marilyn Manson, but now I think he's a cool dude.
Yeah. After Westwood, I really got into Marilyn Manson.
Oh, jeez.
So,
both artists would become hugely successful with their shocking horror imagery, propelling them into the mainstream's attention, appealing to younger people who fell outside the cultural norm and had a fascination with darker entertainment.
We also have a Rob Zombie song.
We do have a Rob Zombie. It's one of my favorite songs.
Mine too. So let's listen to one of our favorite songs.
Fuck yeah.
Let's fucking do it.
Get it, I am the one exterminating sun, slipping through the trees, strangling on the breeze.
Are we recording?
We could, no, yeah, I am. Okay. But, like, we could re-listen to that entire... Like, we could just listen to that song on a loop.
That was one of the first metal songs I ever heard. It's one of the first metal videos I ever saw, and it's still to this day I love it just as much as when I discovered it when I was 14.
I have such a fondness for it. I mentioned it before we were recording, but, like, that was one... This Living Dead Girl was, like, one of the songs.
Oh,
like,
my God.
That was on rotation. My dad, growing up, was in a Metallica cover band, so, like, I listened to a lot of Rob Zombie, a lot of Metallica.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, and I was telling everybody before, like, Wyatt gave us a playlist for this fucking, for this episode. And I was playing games, and Dragula came on, and I just beat the shit out of my opponent so badly. Like, online, I just fucked him up. I was like, nope, I'm rocking a zombie right now, dude, I can't. Oh, good stuff.
I also very stupidly forgot to write on this script, because I'm an idiot, that... When he got really big with music, Rob Zombie ventured into films.
That's right.
And became a very well-known horror director for House of a Thousand Corpses, The Devil's Rejects, Three from Hell. I didn't see that one.
I
know what it is. Just right. Is
oh,
it
yeah.
Good?
I've heard it's good. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I didn't see that or Lords of Salem. One of my favorite movies by him is called The Haunted World of El Super Bisto.
I've heard of that one. I haven't seen it.
Dude, it's so good. It's a cartoon about... like a luchador who thinks he's like a celebrity or something, but it has all these like stupid horror icons in it. Like he's sitting at a bar and Jack Nicholson's there from The Shining, and then the alien bursts out of his chest.
Wow.
But it's like, it's so fucking ridiculous. It's amazing.
I love that.
That one's all over Reddit. But also,
watch that movie.
And just so you know, one of his most controversial films we are going to be covering in October.
Oh, I thought so.
It's going to be a certain Mr. Myers return.
Yes, people might not know that Rob Zombie did a remake of a movie called Halloween, and people have very different opinions on it.
Very different. And Alex, you haven't seen it yet, right?
In fact, real quick, let's go over it. What are your opinions?
I don't know. You'll see here in October.
Stay tuned
me.
For the horrible
Stay
people's opinions, because I haven't
All right.
seen it yet.
Never mind.
Oh, I have.
I will say that I liked them when they came out, but I have not seen them since.
Yeah.
So, I can't give a fair estimate.
I can't wait to watch it again. I want to know. I have to assess myself, because I have a very similar take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Manson and Rob Zombie are both considered metal artists, but with heavy influence of industrial, another genre of music gaining popularity in the 90s that features a very mechanical digital sound along with crushing beats and horror imagery, and often songs would include audio clips from horror films. I fucking love when bands do that.
I mean, I really like industrial music.
I do. I'm like half and half. There's some bands I really love, but I can't like listen to it all the time.
I have to be in like a mood.
Yeah.
Like it's not something that like is on like my constant rotation.
Yeah.
But, like, generally speaking, I do enjoy industrial.
Yeah, I love Combi Christ and.
Combi Christ.
Yeah, great. Bands like that. Where was I going with this?
Oh, now it's metal time.
And now it's metal time. I don't know why I didn't talk about this part.
So the metal genre continued to grow with its horror influences, spawning more intense bands and creating a new subgenre, or new subgenres, like death metal and black metal.
Yeah, this is Wyatt's fucking jam right here.
Yes. Death metal's horror influences are obvious, as it's common for bands to have album covers of bodies being ripped apart and lyrics and music videos resembling slasher films.
Fuck, yes.
Cannibal Corpse being one of the most well-known bands in the genre, becoming well-known for their grotesque album covers and legendary song Hammer Smashed Face.
And for being an Ace Ventura.
There's a really, really good series done by Last Podcast on the Left. They did a series on Norwegian black metal.
Fuck yeah, I love Norwegian black metal.
And about just like all the players there. And
yeah,
just,
it's very horrifying.
And just like how it got involved with just like legitimate human death.
Yeah, it got very fucked up.
Yeah. So
all metalheads know the story of that. There's the classic band called Mayhem where one of the members killed another one of the members. Their original singer killed himself. And the band took a picture of his body and used it as an album cover.
Yeah, as an album cover.
And you can still find it to this day.
It's very accessible.
It is.
That's a real slasher right there.
It was.
That's how that goes.
That was the thing. Death metal is more like singing about it and gives the tough like image like, I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. And death metal is more slasher, and black metal was more kind of Nosferatu, like that like more creepy vibe to it. Black metal is more creepy than death metal.
Black metal is also where like you get more like corpse paint type stuff.
Yeah, everybody's wearing makeup, makes them look. They have names like Skullfucker, Necrobusher. Yeah. They do vocals like
that kind of stuff. Yeah, I believe we also have a Cannibal Corpse song.
I believe we do. I love
just
Cannibal
it up
Corpse
right now.
If you've never looked into the Cannibal Corpse, look up any of their album covers. You'll see the horror influence.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. All right, ready?
Yes.
That song is about killing zombies with a chainsaw. The music video is the band killing zombies with a chainsaw.
What's this song about?
They're very simple and straightforward.
Oh.
So Alex was just saying that she's never been to a death metal show.
I haven't.
You should come.
It's awesome.
I
would love to. It's just one of those things where I'm just like, I didn't start going to concerts until, I don't know, last couple of years anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I did, it was usually with like other people, and like now I'm trying to go by myself.
Yeah.
But nice. I mean, I love going to concerts and shows and stuff, but
and death metal shows especially here. I remember I was scared of my very first death metal show.
Well, and that's but mainly what's good is that like I'm pretty strong. Like I would never.
Oh yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get tossed around in a death metal show.
You might be.
I mean, that's the thing is like if you're like putting yourself in a pit.
Yeah,
that's different than being at the bar the whole
time.
Yeah,
there's
like
you quickly learn where to stand.
Exactly. No one's gonna come up to you and be like, "Get in there, fucker."
Yeah.
I'm like, my glasses.
Oh no! Can everybody stop and look for my glasses, please? Right.
Everybody, just calm down.
Yeah, that did happen to someone I knew once where we were just at like a school sponsored concert because universities did that from time to time, and they had no concept of like concert etiquette.
Oh god, yeah.
None.
Yeah.
Zero. Zilch. And someone like fell down or something and the crowd just thought there was space to like push
it
forward.
No.
And like a bunch of people fell over and it just created this absolute mayhem and then like I got knocked over and then my ex got knocked over and like their glasses got stomped and like it was
that
awful.
Sounds like chaos.
It was awful. It was definitely like it wasn't like Travis Scott esque like levels of chaos, but like it was like pretty bad. Like so, like someone very easily could have gotten trampled.
Yeah, sounds like it. That's the thing about metal shows that a lot of people don't know if they haven't been is that majority of the time, if somebody falls down, they're picked up like before they even hit the ground. Like the pit will stop and get the person up. I see it every time.
There's a lot of there's. I mean, yeah. There's common courtesy there.
Yeah.
So getting right back to it, like death metal, black metal also pushes the limits of extreme metal, but features a more theatrical appearance with makeup in the vein of Alice Cooper, referred to as corpse paint, which I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
These bands were faster and more atmospheric, with lyrics and imagery often depicting Satan and religious symbols being desecrated. Oof.
There's a great fun story about black metal, if everybody doesn't know about it, the origins of black metal.
Yeah. So it's a fun time, so look into it. So black metal set out to terrify audiences with their performances, but were far more serious and darker than Alice Cooper had done before, with legends of how evil the bands were spreading and terrifying mainstream audiences. Black metal, in my experience and like very limited knowledge, what is just like they built their own lore around how fucked up and like terrifying they are.
Kind of, yeah. Like I remember when I was young and first finding out about it, you kind of did really think these bands were like super satanic, like doing rich, and some of them were. But
yeah.
it was definitely played up how terrifying they were in the same kind of way Alice Cooper was. But Alice Cooper was clearly like a stage show. This was like, some of these bands were actually cutting themselves.
Yeah, it's
on
like
stage.
Lifestyle.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Or you know, like,
having like dead pig heads like on stage, and,
or sacrificing for lack of a better term, animals, like you know, like they're
I saw one death or one black metal band, Gorgoroth. They had two people crucified. They were tied up. They weren't actually crucified, but there were two naked people on crosses for the entire concert, just like strapped up there. For the whole show.
Okay. Pretty hardcore right there. It does have, I think it does, what Alice Cooper did to audiences now. Black metal, I think, scares the shit out of
In people. The 90s, it absolutely did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's more calmed down. Now a lot of people are kind of trying to take away some of the cool parts of black metal. But in the 90s, yeah, it was horrifying.
Yeah, I think I draw the line at, like, real life animal death.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. But, oh, for mentioning Alice Cooper and black metal, Alice Cooper hates black metal. He thinks it's such a joke. There's interviews with him where he said he loves to be in Norway, and he'll grab a black metal magazine and just, like, point and laugh at the people on it because they're so, like, serious. And they are.
They do take them
very seriously. Especially when they were starting, they were way over the top with how grim and evil they were.
So, metal would go on to become largely associated with demonic imagery and horror-esque lyrics. Whether the bands are fully dedicated to horror or not, it's fair to say heavy metal as a whole would not be what it is today without the influence of horror films.
That's a good point.
I had to highlight that because I'm a huge metalhead, so obviously that's the point that I was going to talk about the most and have the most knowledge on.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, though. Like, it, not just, like, horror films, but also the same basis for horror films, talking about, you know, satanic stuff and things that scare the shit out of people.
Oh, yeah, like, it's genuine scary, too.
Yeah, things that scare the shit out of people. There's a definite mutual respect there.
Yeah, and there's such the horror influence. One of my favorite festivals in the world is called Hellfest. It was named that before the shitty movie came out.
No!
I was going to say, you're wearing a Hellfest shirt.
I know, yeah.
And, yeah, it's right there.
But yeah, it's just a massive festival, and there's skull bands, all these evil bands playing everything.
Nice.
It's great.
Well, I gotta check it out.
Oh, one more thing. At another festival, Vakin, they've had... I know the guy who played Pinhead has been there and, like, signed autographs and stuff. Like,
damn.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, Pinhead does look like... Definitely fits the bill for sure. But as time goes on, more and more bands and music genres adopt horror aesthetics and inspirations for their art. Many emo bands' videos and lyrics have clear horror film inspiration. Artists of all genres will drop a horror-themed music video or song occasionally the weekend. One of the biggest bands in hard rock and metal to take off in recent years is Ghost, whose lyrics are entirely satanic and horror-themed, and whose lineup features several members in black robes known only as Nameless Ghouls, and a singer dressed as a satanic pope or pop star.
This band is so fucking weird. Do you guys know about Ghost?
Yeah, they have like a whole lore.
Yeah, but they started off as like this underground kind of doom Black Sabbath-ish metal band with a cool image. Now they're a straight up pop band.
They're playing
arenas and like
they're playing arenas.
It's more pop than Thriller is.
They did at the end of Halloween.
Yeah.
At Kills. At the end of Halloween Kills, they were the credit song.
Yeah.
Damn.
But
mainstream, huh?
Which was crazy because as I was watching it, I was like, this sounds like Ghost.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it is Ghost.
It's just weird to me that they've blown up so big where they're selling out arenas in the U.S. and they're blatantly satanic.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun pop metal-ish stuff, but the lyrics are all, like, praising Satan and everything, which I think is awesome. But
this like is what they look like, man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
God, and the first time I saw them, they were fucking incredible. Interesting. I'm not as big of a fan now, but still, one of the biggest horror-influenced bands out there right now.
Okay, so they're setting the meta for sure.
Yeah, do we have a clip of Ghost?
Yes, there is a Ghost song in there.
Let's slap it on. It.
Slap so a Ghost know. Song.
Sad rock.
Okay. I mean, you can not like it, you cannot like it.
Not
everyone...
the song that we just listened to, but like the newer stuff.
Yeah, it's weird because I got into Ghost and was blown away. I thought they were so fucking amazing. And then they came out with like an album a year later where the sound completely changed and I was like, what is this?
That sucks though, when it's just like you have like a band that you really, really like and then like, they come out with something new and you're just like not as big of a fan.
And it was mad. The first time I saw them, It was at Hellfest, and it went Ghost, and as soon as they were done was Black Sabbath, and as soon as they were done was King Diamond.
Excuse me.
It was this horror back and forth, and it was so fucking good.
That'd be badass.
That was a great day.
Man. Yeah. But the goth, rock, and industrial scenes actually are bigger than ever with underground clubs and cities all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much all of which are decorated in gothic dungeon attire. And
people
also,
in L.A., bar sin.
I mean, there's a lot of in Los Angeles, for
yeah.
sure. Yeah. Psychobilly and horror punk bands are still entertaining legions of fans, with the original lineup of the Misfits reuniting in 2016 and singing songs about vampires and corpses to stadiums full of people all over the country.
Yeah, that was a band that was saying that they would never get back together, just like Guns N' Roses. Then the same year, both those bands got back together.
We all need money at the same time. Wow, the whole new tax laws are just insane.
Yeah.
Really.
Inflation's really shit. Should we go out there?
Now, one of the biggest rock bands in the world at the moment, the Foo Fighters, even released their own horror film recently.
Yeah, Studio 666.
I didn't see it.
Did I heard it was good.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It seemed really campy.
It looked very silly, but
fun.
Like fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Dave Grohl. So.
I mean, Dave Grohl's great.
That just shows the power of horror right there.
Yeah, and because Foo Fighters is a very mainstream band.
Yes. Yeah.
So for them to do like a B-horror movie is awesome.
Right? Well, I mean, horror films' influence on music is, with what we were just talking about, it's undeniable.
Yeah.
Yeah, greatly changing the landscape of what is acceptable in music, and especially in live performance, you know?
Mm.
Bats heads off and shit, so you know?
Yep. So, goat heads, blood.
Yep.
Everything.
People crucified with titties exposed,
yep.
You know, the whole thing. horror films taught artists that audiences like to be shocked and frightened just as much as they like to dance and smile.
Yes.
That the scary and frightening can be entertaining and fun and cool to look at, really. Without horror films and horror enthusiasts, we wouldn't have any of these music genres that we have today. And art as a whole would actually be less for it. We'd have good old Christian good boy music.
we would have the Beatles and nothing else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They had what? The Helter Skelter? And that was like, okay, cool, fine. No more after that.
Yeah.
Which Rob Zombie did a great cover of, by the way.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
I'm saying,
I saw Rob
Marilyn
Zombie
Manson.
And Marilyn Manson
they
cover that song.
Helter
and
Helter.
While they were playing it live, they had clips of like Charles Manson flashing in the back.
Of course they did.
Yeah, they had to. They had the shock value, of course.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what the genres are known for, both collectively, horror and the music genres that are inspired by it. So.
And then everyone who isn't into it thinks you're a freak and a horrible person.
Dude.
On a horrible people's podcast.
That's right. No, I remember I've talked to people before, like, you know, on, like, dates and stuff in the past. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, do a horror podcast. It's like, oh, I can't even watch horror movies. I'm like, yeah. You seem really frightened right now.
Well, I think it just turns into, like it's, like, a lack of understanding. And then it also, like, we talked about this a lot on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, people have their own, like, threshold of, like, what they think someone is a weirdo is.
Yeah.
Or, mm-hmm. like, And I don't even mean that in, like, a mean way. I mean that in, like, if someone were to walk up to me and tell me that they like a Serbian film.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I would think you're a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
But I also understand that there are some people out there who think, like, just, like, the fact that I watch horror movies to relax, like, that makes me a weirdo.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everyone has their own threshold for what makes them a weirdo. Like,
yeah. I've had so many people with metal and death metal being like, how can you listen to that? Like, what is it?
Like, we were talking about especially earlier, I don't even know if we were recording, but, like, when we were listening to Cannibal Corpse, I was just like, ah, oh, this is relaxing.
It is, yeah.
Like, I don't know, it's just relaxing.
There's been studies that show that heavy metal music helps improve mood and makes people nicer, not angrier.
Right.
Well, I mean, like violent video games.
Exactly.
Sometimes you just need a release. You just need a release.
Oh, I should have brought that up, fucking Doom.
Oh my god, Doom is so well influenced by metal.
Metal soundtrack the whole way.
Dude.
The guy who created it comes out and plays the song with a guitar and everything. It's fucking awesome.
And it's every Doom, too.
Yeah.
All the Dooms have that wonderful metal soundtrack, dude. Doom Eternal?
Yeah.
When I'm trying to beat the fuck out of some demons? Oh.
Oh yeah, it gets you going.
That's a good time. Oh, well, it's discussion time. Wyatt, what you got?
Before
that, you missed one.
I missed a few. That's probably because I'm not that big into them, but I don't want to leave them out, so fun.
Only one that really stuck out to me was Oingo Boingo.
Oingo Boingo.
Yeah, Danny Elfman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Danny Elfman's like a horror guy.
I completely fucking skipped over that, you're right.
yeah, that's one of those, I mean, Dead Man's Party, fucking...
All right, I quit.
Hour of the Wolf.
I suck at podcasting.
No, and then even their old music videos are this weird, punky, kind of, like, scary.
Well, it's hard with something like this, because, like, it's hard to talk about horror and music at all, because there's... you're going to inevitably leave someone or something out.
Yeah, exactly.
I've mentioned a bunch of other genres here. So there's heavy metal, death metal, black metal, industrial, horror punk, psychobilly, dark wave, avant-garde, goth rock, aggro tech, EDM, dubstep, horror rap. There's horror rap now.
Yeah. They call it horrorcore, don't they?
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah. I think it's horrorcore because they got in trouble for a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Because they're like, rap shouldn't be like this.
It is kind of weird.
That's weird.
It is
At least for me.
Sounds gatekeepy.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just one of those things that rattles the fucking mainstream because it's not like, you know, I think when it comes
to... I know Eminem did lyrics about like killing people and shit.
No, he did. That's true.
Yeah.
Stand itself, like that.
Oh yeah, that's a creepy. That's on the verge of an Alice Cooper song.
Yeah,
the Stand music video, like it's a horror film.
It is.
It has Devin Sawa in it.
I know.
Yeah, that dude, Final Destination, man.
Yeah, there's so many genres. It's impossible to really dive into all of them.
Exactly. You could do a whole other episode, even just talking about.
I could do a 5-hour episode on metal.
If you can talk about metal, I can talk about goth music.
Yeah, exactly.
Like just the evolution of goth music, and then how that gave us. I don't know. Like there's a lot to unpack there.
Yes.
Like, for me, I love 80s music.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
I like 80s and 90s music. I love. And so for me, like dark wave, new wave, all that kind of shit is just like,
ugh. Yeah. See, a lot of that I miss. Like, it's not that I hate it. It's just not like my thing.
Yeah. It's not, mm-hmm. it's not the wheelhouse.
I'm the death metal Satan. Fuck you guys.
Yeah. We should just put a picture of Wyatt on the podcast page.
Doing my vocals.
He wrote the episode. Look at this tattoo and the shirt. This is what we're going to talk about.
Have a picture of me on stage screaming.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, I got to throw out death metal. I became a death metal singer. I've helped out this band called Disciples of Death. We have a clip of them, and I want to play it because they're my homies, and we got to shout them out.
Okay. Sure. Is it on the thingy?
It is. This song is called Bathe in Gore.
Oh, fuck yeah. All right, we're
going. If you can't tell the horror theme, there you go.
No, that's a pretty casual one. Bathe in Gore. Where are we at?
Towards the bottom, I think.
Yeah, I think
there it is. There it is. All right, we're doing it. One.
It's better to worship than to fucking bleed in dark.
Okay.
Slap it back. So that was Disciples of Death. Very good friends of mine. Everyone, if you love death metal, check them out.
Damn.
Yes. Yeah, so let's open the discussion.
Yeah.
Let's start with what are some of our personal favorite horror-inspired artists? Whether it's fully dedicated to horror or whether it's just they'd have a song here and there or whatever.
I mean, I actually really like Oingo Boingo. That's why I mentioned it. I was like, shit. I used to listen to it back in the day when I would like close when I worked in the lab as a lab tech.
Yeah.
And like we would just like, okay, cool, slap on. We had actually Michael Jackson nights.
Oh, no.
So
nice.
I would hear Thriller all the time. Yeah. And like Billie Jean and shit. But then one of my bosses was in a band and he would always, he'd slap on metal, he'd slap on, again, Oingo Boingo. And it would just be one of those things where we switched the genres all the time.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not as well versed. I remember also we did actually have Ozzy Osbourne nights too.
Oh, nice. Cool.
So we had that going on for us as well.
Nice.
And
yeah, since you mentioned Oingo Boingo, Marilyn Manson did a fucking great cover of the Nightmare Before Christmas song.
Oh, he did.
It's so
good.
This
Halloween cover is amazing.
It's so good.
Yes. He did a fantastic version of that one. I loved it.
I really do too.
Also, as a kid, grew up with Rob Zombie. Like,
I grew up
with Rob Zombie. His music somehow hits every fucking time. It really does.
Yeah. I don't know, like, this is kind of hard for me to, like, pinpoint on, like, in terms of, like...
You can bring the emo stuff, too.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, for me, I think of a lot of, like, 80s alternative or, like, gothic.
Yeah.
Or, like, gothic rock. I mean, for me, because I think horror elements... just by the nature of me being contrarian, doesn't necessarily have to be like I'm gonna sing about spooky shit, but it's also just like how they make you feel.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
Mm-hmm. So for me, a lot like The Cure,
mm-hmm.
it has like the spooky vibes.
Yeah,
immaculate.
Yeah, that counts.
The Authority says it's okay.
Authority says. That's my thing. I'm just not well versed on these bands, but like as much as you can
for sure. So like goth rock is just like my shit. But for me, growing up, I listened to a lot of Rob Zombie. Like I mentioned before, my dad. Okay, so this didn't come up, and I actually did want to bring this up. So not necessarily like super. So my dad was in a Metallica cover band, and I remember he showed me the music video for One, which I don't know if anyone has seen the music video for One.
Yeah.
It features. Clips from a movie called Johnny's Got His Gun, which is the scariest fucking concept of a movie I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Really? I don't know anything
so,
about
okay,
that.
So this music video, you've listened to Metallica, right?
Yeah.
You're familiar with the song One.
They're James' favorite band.
It's James' favorite band. I'm sure he's listening and he's yelling, and I'm sorry, but
he's yelling some Metallica lyrics while he's rocking out.
Yeah, you know what? He knows how I feel about Metallica, and it's fine. But, anyway, so in this music video, they take clips from this movie, and it's about this guy, this Vietnam vet who loses all of his senses.
Mm. Oh God.
And like basically he's just locked in.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing this as a kid and it scared the fuck out of
me. That is horrifying. So I think the psychological stuff is scarier than like a guy with a knife.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's the whole concept. And my twin, so I have a twin brother, and he was, like, obsessed with this, like, he was just, like, he couldn't find what the video was, or he couldn't find what the movie was, and he finally figured it out. And then I found a YouTuber who actually covered the movie, and, like, I actually learned a little bit more about, like, the movie itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrifying. And,
jeez.
And, like, this guy just wanted to die, and, like, no one, like, would just let this man die. He lost his arms, and he lost his legs. And he couldn't see, and he couldn't, like, hear, and basically all he could do was, like, feel.
Just a stump.
All he could do was feel, and all he could feel was pain.
That is terrifying.
And I'm just like, that is hell. That is literally hell.
Yeah, that's, like, the most horrifying thing
to think. So the point is they used clips for that in the One music video.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing it as a child and just being, like I need you guys to imagine just, like, 7 or 8-year-old me just being, like...
Terrified.
Mortified. So, horror elements are everywhere.
And speaking of Metallica, it was Stranger Things. It just exploded.
Yes. Yeah.
That's true. That's
another great example. Well, I mean, not really, but, I know Kate Bush also has, like, mm-hmm. she's more, like, whimsical than spooky, but, yeah, horror elements in music, I think they're easy to find, but it's hard to pin down specifically.
That's a good way of putting
unless
it.
Unless you're the Insane Clown Posse. what about you? What about you, Wyatt?
Yeah. Oh, man, there's so fucking many.
Give us the diatribe.
I'm going to do what Phil did and just take 4 hours of talking about what I want to. But, oh, man, Marilyn Manson did really kick off a lot for me. As I said, I have a lot of mixed feelings about him now, but I can't deny the influence he had on me. Rob Zombie's always been one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Even his newer albums, like, they're not as great as they were, but there's usually at least two or three songs that, like, I'll throw on the list and be like, all right, like...
He still got it in
some way. Still does. Yeah. His live shows are fucking great. I love Alice Cooper. I fucking love King Diamond.
Yeah.
I first found out about King Diamond through Clerks 2.
Nice. Really?
Yes, the song that they play on the jukebox is King Diamond.
Oh, that's cool.
So when they're about to dance on the roof and you start hearing the loud screams, Jay's blasting King Diamond. And that was the first time I ever heard him, and I was like, what the fuck is this? I went through the entire soundtrack trying every artist until I found that song.
I love when that happens.
Yeah.
That'll happen to me sometimes. I'm like, wait, I'm watching a TV show. What are these for the credits?
Yeah.
I need that credit song right now.
I literally went through every song until I found it.
Oh,
I love that. That's so funny.
And then I have to give a shout out to Psychobilly and Horror Punk. Like, I love the Misfits. I forgot to mention that Danzig has started making his own horror films.
What?
And if you want to see some fucking really bad horror films.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
He has one called Veronica, and people have described it as the horror film version of The Room.
Really? It's right here.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I've heard of this.
Oh, my God.
Okay. It stars, like, porn stars and strippers.
Nice!
Well, oh, that's so interesting because our season premiere actually has elements of that. But you'll find out in a couple weeks.
Hey.
wow. Okay, yeah. Maybe we'll have to cover Veronica and bring Wyatt.
That would be fun. We should definitely
bring back for that one.
That would be hilarious.
2019 horror anthology film. Wow.
Veronica?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Just watch, like, a review of it. It's so
funny. Wow. This has... It is... Oh, wow. That's bad.
It's
that's
an anthology.
That is a 21% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That is the beast worse.
And yeah, it's one star.
Holy shit.
That is gnarly.
They're not good. But that being said, love the Misfits. I love Mad Sin. That's one that I wanted to give a shout out to. Yeah, I love the Psychobilly, the stand-up bass and the whole style. Psychobilly has such a big influence of horror. We're like...
Mm-hmm.
Most of the fans have, like, horror-inspired tattoos and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the name of the genre itself.
Yeah,
like, there's no mistaking that there's horror elements there. There's, like, none. It's in the DNA.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But damn, man. Like, and, you know, horror's a big part. I mean, now that you have metals, like, you are a performer.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, a fundamental thing for you, right?
It is. It's very interesting. It's fun to get up on stage and scream songs about killing people.
See, but we know Wyatt. He'd never kill a motherfucker.
Yeah, and isn't that that's crazy? The thing, like... people look at metal and it seems like scary at first. They're the nicest, like, dumbest. Be like, if you go to a metal festival, it's like the stupidest fucking crowd. Like,
yeah,
I've
awesome.
Seen I've seen Cannibal Corpse play to a crowd of people dressed like superheroes and Ace Ventura, like, dancing and stupid shit.
Yeah, there's
some
just
of the nicest, like, silliest, but, like, generally speaking, like, nicest people I've ever met have, like, been metalheads.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, like, I don't know. I like to surround myself with metalheads because like it's people who, like, I know we're gonna get along because we, generally speaking, have a similar sense of humor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But also, like, I know, like, you're not, like, a shitty person. Like, I mean, and to be fair, like, bad apples have some in every community, but, like, for the most part, like, we're gonna get along.
Yeah, totally.
Well, that actually brings up a very good point because again, there's a stigma sometimes when it comes to, like, fans of these genres we're talking about right now. But when you really look at it, the criticism comes from these, like, really uptight, often hyper-religious kind
of
crowd.
Yeah, people who aren't part of it.
And you know how many more crimes were done in the name of God versus in the name of, like, this song that was popular for 2 years? comparatively. Like, comparatively. Nah, not even close.
That's a good point. There's a quote from the singer for Cannibal Corpse in the documentary Headbanger's Journey. Because they've had albums be banned in countries because of the grotesque art.
Mm-hmm.
And his comeback was, go to the Vatican and look at the art there.
Yeah.
It's the same fucking thing.
Well, and also, last podcast on the left, Marcus Parks said very simple, like, he's like, if you look, like, have goths killed, yes. But if you look at literally every sub like subset of people, like someone in that set, like jocks have killed, like literally everyone.
Christian conservatives have killed.
Exactly. Yeah, like if you look at every like social subset, someone in that group it's has just, killed someone. Like,
they
it's
need
just because
this, they need the scary thing to
exactly. Like everyone likes to latch on to the thing that they don't understand or the scary thing because that's easy. Like
it has to be that thing that made them do that, right? Because that thing freaks me out.
Yeah,
right. It makes me uncomfortable. That, so. Yeah, and that and it's a terrible mindset. But I think that was in the Columbine episode.
Yeah,
or where he said that. Because like during like in the aftermath of Columbine, like there was like it was kind of his own little satanic panic where it's like, oh no, violent music, violent video.
Oh yeah, they were very much like trying to get rid of Manson and heavy metal and video games.
And Manson made such a good point too. He was like, yeah, they want to keep you afraid of me and afraid of everybody else because you got to stay tuned because they're gonna sell you Colgate toothpaste after a commercial break. Like that's how that's gonna work.
Yeah,
you don't
totally.
Get the attention unless you have something to fear based on how the media was like. Handling that scenario.
Yeah, and exactly the same with how Alice Cooper got big was by literally scaring people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Wow, that was a pretty profound discussion right there, guys.
Yeah, we get deep talking about horror shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go with another question. Do we have any favorite horror films that heavily rely on music or the music played a big part? I think a good example is the first Blade.
Yeah,
not the same
that is a
music.
Great example.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. That's true. That's very, very true. What's something like that music really? I don't know why. No, this to me it's just a relic of the '90s, but it is within the era we were talking about. Idle Hands.
Yes.
Yeah.
Idle
yeah.
Hands is a good
all
one.
The shit that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like Marilyn Manson. All
I love
right
that.
There. And but it was played up.
And there was
for
a band
fun.
Called Idle Hands.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. See. But it was played up with such fun, but also, like, you know, the songs and everything featured in there, it is about death and all these other things, too. But it does it in a way that, you know, it's a fun movie that happens to be very spooky and bloody.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just good. And then, I can't think of too many others. Alex, do you have any other?
Snakes on a Plane. No. Damn, I'm like scrolling through our like. I'm like, I know we talk about soundtracks.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's fundamental right there. Yeah.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh yeah.
Have I told? I'll tell my very quick story from Dusk Till Dawn.
Please.
I didn't know anything about it when I saw it. So the first half was like, "This is a really cool like bank robbery movie," and then the vampires come out. I was like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Oh yeah.
I love that.
That's happened to everybody at least once.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, this, the cover does not, I mean, it looks like, okay, I'm going to see a vampire scare or whatever, and then, like, you watch the movie, you're like, oh, okay, I guess that's something completely different. And
yeah,
like, no,
it's like
nope,
an outlaw.
Came back.
Like, oh, okay.
There it goes. There it goes.
Yeah, Death Proof also.
Death Proof, well, like, reliant on the horror elements of its soundtrack?
Not necessarily reliant, but I think they complement each other well. I think Quentin Tarantino does a really good job with that.
Yeah.
It's also
oh, yeah.
From Dusk Till Dawn also, like,
that's
like
true.
Fantastic soundtracks.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just me being complimentary of just him.
I mean, even John Carpenter's Halloween. Like,
oh, yeah.
You think about, like, the score itself, fantastic, but he also made you feel really eerie by just playing Mr. Sandman.
Oh, yeah.
Just having that, like,
mm-hmm.
very melodic, kind of calm song while crazy shit is about to go down.
It always makes it creepier. It's like
oh
a happy,
God.
Fun, like, nice song.
We are
song.
So dumb. Horrible. Lost Boys.
Oh, The Lost Boys.
The Lost Boys.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah, that's a great one.
There's so much to cover. We're going to miss shit.
I know. What do you
mean? I mean, we're going to skip something, but those, like The Lost Boys is for sure one of, like, the soundtracks where I'm just like...
Yeah.
How about you, Wyatt? You got any other ones in the arsenal?
For me, way back in the day, The Crow. I feel like
yeah.
I haven't seen that in
a
long time, but I loved it when I was young.
And that one, for sure, like the soundtrack complements it in a way that.
And The Matrix was like so industrial. It fucking like inspired so much of the industrial scene.
It took pushed
a lot
it forward.
Took a lot of
quite a bit. Yeah.
It also had a lot of people like Molgoths and stuff.
Oh my God.
Oh, Molgoths.
Dude, is that it? Are we good on that?
I think that might be it. I didn't write an outro. I can probably think of one off the top of my head.
I mean, I can
improv.
Also...
okay, let's improv something. I mean, just the same with horror films, music is the same where people who don't understand it think you're weird or there's something wrong with you, but it's just a fun art form. Like, you're not... It's... I've had so many people think it's weird. Like, my grandmother is like, oh, this is horrible. How can you listen to this? But then, yeah, you bond with people. Majority of people I've met in any of these scenes are just the nicest. You get along immediately.
Yeah.
If you have a similar aesthetic or just vibe, you get along with people great. Yeah. So that horror imagery helps, like, bring people together in a way.
Yeah, it gives them a common ground.
Yeah, and it's community.
It is a community. And, again, it's a little darker in a lot of ways, but also dark is fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it really is a lot of fun. And
it's so boring.
People enjoy... Yeah, people don't like the mundane, the milquetoast
a
lot of times.
Yeah.
And if it's an outlet for them that's healthy,
mm-hmm.
why condemn it?
Yeah.
Why condemn it in any way when you get such creative works like what we listened to today?
Exactly.
Super creative.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a good little...
A good outro.
Ending right there. Yeah. We can improv an outro.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Thank you for joining us this week, Wyatt.
Can I plug my shit?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say we'll see you next week as well.
We will, for an episode that might be recorded right here.
With no plugs.
Where we're going to be talking about...
a certain caped crusader.
Yes.
Let's say the richest goth.
The richest goth.
The richest
absolutely.
Goth.
Where can people find your stuff, Wyatt?
You can find me on YouTube under Wyatt Turner. I do a lot of videos on movies and entertainment, and it's going pretty well. I also have another YouTube channel called Wyatt's Metal, and that's where you'll find my vocal covers, my music, and more music-related stuff.
Yeah, and just listen to the reviews. They're really, really good.
They're awesome. I love the reviews.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And soon there might be a band with some music coming, but that will be later on. Maybe next time on the podcast.
There you go.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. Summer is in full swing, and I hope everyone takes the time to thank all of our guests for sweating their asses off in my apartment.
Dude, right. You don't even know. It's like being at a metal show.
We're sweating for you guys.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, everyone, for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
Adios.
Bye, guys.